studio, Friday nights, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Radio Free Brooklyn.
Good morning, good morning. You're listening to New in New York here on Radio Free Brooklyn. Happy Sunday morning to everyone out there. I'm super excited today because we have a very funny person on the show. She's an author, she's a comedian, she's an actor. She's written a memoir that's sure is funny. I have not read it yet. Sorry. Anyway, it's Sophie Santos. Hey, Sophie, how you doing? Oh, shit. I told her it would work and it didn't. Oh, shit. Okay. We're going to try one more thing. But she's really funny. And if this doesn't work, we're just going to play a song and see what happens. Technology is fun. No. What is going on? Did I not let you... Blech. Oh, shit. Shit. Is your phone by you? Do you want to... Can I call you? It'll work if we call. Sorry, guys. We're going to play a song. Sophie, type in what you want to start with. Except... the Jay-Z song. We've already played that too much. Give me another song choice from your list that you want. Or we could just start from the beginning, like Changing My Major. Do you want to start there? Okay, let's do it. And we'll be back. And Sophie, you'll hear her funny, her voice in a minute. Okay, enjoy. You know what? I just realized I'm an idiot. Sophie, talk.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I'm an idiot. So oh, Sophie's like this professional comedian and I'm an asshole. Sorry.
No, you're not an asshole. I was like, you listen, technology's hard and I think it's always going to be hard no matter where we are in life. So
I took a break from doing this show. So Zoom is again, like on audio, on the radio. I'm still getting back warmed up. So anyway, Sophie, thank you so much for doing this. Sorry for the delay. How are you?
I'm great. Was that all on air? Did you get all the, was everything on air with you?
Oh, yes.
We are. Spinning out?
Yes.
I love it. I hope the listeners are just truly enjoying a very organic experience.
Exactly. It's live. It's very me. I burp. They know me. They know that. So anyway,
it's so live.
So Sophie, let's get this. Okay. So you moved to New York how long ago?
6 years ago.
6 years ago. Okay. And how did you get here? Like, what was your path to New York City?
So I was doing a show, at a summer festival in Massachusetts. At the time I was a musical theater gal.
Nerd.
Yes. Are you roasting me?
No, or? I love musicals. I'm like a psycho about musicals. I love them. No. That's why I'm here.
Okay, great. Well, you should roast me though. Cause it is nerdy, but, I was super into musicals and,
wait, where were you from? Were you from the East Coast?
No, I was a military brat, but I had went to school in Alabama.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Roll Tide.
Okay.
And then graduated from University of Southern Mississippi.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. Okay. So the East Coast and the South, very different places. So
very different places.
So you were in Massachusetts doing musical theater and the show did what?
Oh, I was just doing like a summer stock show. Where I actually was really cool. I got to be, in drag and I played this, I was like in drag from like the 1700s or something.
Oh, wow.
So I was like in a full tux. And it was really cool. And then, while I was there, Because I was an intern, and so like I was an actor intern, which I didn't even know was like a thing. By the way,
I didn't know that existed. But
yeah, I didn't. That's what it was. and I was like, you know, so I was not only just doing the show, but I was also like an intern, and so like the interns would have like events with like real actors, you know.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And so one of the actresses there was, well, I should say that like summer theater, for people that don't know, like stock, like summer stock or, you know, festivals during the summer, like a lot of like Broadway actors will like, that's where they go because it's like a chance for them to like get away from New York City, like be in the woods and like still get to perform plays. And so that's the kind of people that I was like, you know, around and like, you know, people who were like on the Broadway. And so this one particular actress, and I were like a little chummy with each other, and literally like I went and saw her perform. She like invited me and my friends at the time, to see her perform, like this cabaret show. Then after the cabaret show, I like messaged her on Facebook and was just like, you were so great. I just wanted to let you know. You know, kissing her ass, of course.
Of course.
And if, whenever I'm in New York, we should definitely get, you know, coffee. Like I'm trying to network here. I also hadn't had any plans to move to New York yet.
Okay. Okay.
Like it wasn't like official. Like it was on my mind, but it wasn't official.
Okay.
And she was like, wait, when are you getting here? And so I'm trying to spin some things and I'm like, you know, really soon. She was like, well, do you like cats? And okay. I said, yes. Although I didn't care either way.
Yeah,
I
just was, cats are I was like
I think I should just say yes. I think that's really what I should say. And she said, well, how would you feel about cat sitting for me, for a few months?
What?
Starting the day my internship ended.
Are you serious?
I'm very serious. And I called my mom and I was like, I think I gotta go. She wants me to watch her cats, you know? Like, this is my ticket. This is my ticket.
Oh my God. That seems like it was just meant to be. Like, you were meant to meet this woman, meant to, you know, send her that Facebook message and meant to apartment sit. So did you get to start out in New York like rent free?
Yes, I did. And I lived on the Upper West Side.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like staying in this like famous actress's home.
Holy
shit. And
I'm
just like walking around and just being like, what the fuck? What's happening?
Wow.
And yeah, but she was on me though. She was like, but you know, I need you to get a job because she was like, she didn't know me. And so she's like, wants to make sure I'm like not going to overstay my welcome, obviously.
Right.
And so I
squatter's rights.
Like, yeah, exactly. She read me the rights, with her big brim hat as she like sauntered out and then went to her summer home.
Oh my gosh. What a world.
Wait, had you been, was over.
Wait, had you been to New York before this like Upper West Side living experience with a cat?
Yes. No, I had.
You had. So did you knew what the city was like, you knew what you were getting yourself into kind of.
Oh yeah. So like I should backtrack and say that like I started going to the city when I was 16. My cousin's a comedian. So I started like every spring break, like when all of my friends would like go to Destin, Florida, because that's what you do when you live in Alabama.
Obviously.
My mom and I would go to New York and we'd always go see shows together. And then I'd go hang out with my cousin in comedy clubs. And then I would just like hang out with her like in clubs or like at UCB at the time, or like really shitty, like, you know, Bushwick shows, you know, shows that I eventually started doing,
of
you know,
course,
so
yes.
Like, so. And we love those. And so, yeah, so I had always like wanted to go to New York. I had applied to school in New York. But it was so expensive that I couldn't afford to go to New York right out of high school. And then, at the moment that I was like, you know, the summer after college, when I was at the theater program, summer stock, whatever. It's early. I'm sorry. No. Normally, I'm a better storyteller.
No, this is why this hour is awful for people who are comics and musicians. It's because it's 9 a.m. on a Sunday.
No, I had a show last night and then went out after the show and was like, oh, wait, I have a thing. I have a thing in the morning.
Well, thank you for doing it.
Through the damn thing. I can't do the damn thing tonight. You know, I can't socialize, network, whatever you call it.
Oh my God. So, I want to talk about that aspect later, but okay, go ahead. So you were at the summer stack.
And I had at the time was like, I want to go to LA, which I don't even know why I was thinking that at the time.
Yeah.
I had no reason to want to go to LA. I had no one out there I knew. And so, So it was basically like kind of the plan was once I finished the show, I would go to LA, and then the New York thing happened. And then my mom was like, well, I always thought you'd move to New York. Like, you know, so me being in New York was exactly where I needed to be. And I was like, and everything made sense once I was there. Cause it didn't make sense me living in Alabama.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense me living in Mississippi. You know, I was one of those kids that I was always like, when I get out, things will be better. And like, literally is, you know, obviously we know it's hard in New York, but I was I was finally at peace, you know, hearing the traffic.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing. Cause I feel like most people do come here. No one just like kind of oops-a-doops, I ended up in New York City. Like you have a plan and you know why you want to be there. And so the city is filled with the people who are kind of like you. So anyway, now really going to play a song, and we don't have to play the song from Fun Home, but we can. It's just totally up to you what we start with.
Oh, I'm fine with you going in order.
Okay, cool. Then we're going to do that. And is there...
Am I going to be able to hear it in my head?
You can hear it in your head. This is the fun of this radio, but you're not allowed to talk while the song is playing because that's... We're a nonprofit station, Sophie. So, anyway, we're going to play Changing My Major, and then Sophie's going to tell us what the song kind of means to her. So, enjoy.
Can we play the full song, by the way?
Yeah.
Hilarious. I didn't know that. Okay, wow. We're really going to get... I'm going to be moved. Let's do it.
Okay, perfect. I like that. Move people. Okay, enjoy.
What happened last night? Are you really here? Joan, 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 Joan. Hi, Joan! Don't wake up, Joan! Oh my God, last night. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, last night. I got so excited, I was too enthusiastic. Thank you for not laughing, well, you laughed a little bit. At one point when I was touching you and said I might lose consciousness, which you said was adorable, and I just have to trust that you don't think I'm an idiot or some kind of an animal. I never lost control due to overwhelming lust, but I must say that I'm changing my major to Joan. I'm changing my major to sex with Joan. I'm changing my major to sex with Joan, with a minor in kissing Joan. Foreign study to Joan's inner thighs, a seminar on Joan's ass in her Levi's, and Joan's crazy brown eyes. Joan, I feel like Hercules. Oh God, that sounds ridiculous. Just keep on sleeping through this and I'll work on calming down, so by the time you've woken up, I'll be cool, I'll be collected, and I'll have found some dignity. But who needs dignity? Cause this is so much better. I'm radiating happiness. Will you stay here with me for the rest of the semester? We won't need any food. We'll live on sex alone. Sex with Joan. Writing a thesis on Joan. It's a cutting edge field and my mind is blown. I will gladly stay up every night to hone my compulsory skills with Joan. I will study my way down her spine, familiarize myself with her well-made outline while she researches my who I am. I've become someone new. Nothing I just did is anything I would do. Overnight everything changed. I am not prepared. I'm dizzy, I'm nauseous, I'm shaky. I'm scared. Am I falling into nothingness or flying into something so sublime? I don't know, but I'm changing my major to Joan. I thought all my life I'd be all alone, but that was before I was lying prone in this dorm room bed with Joan. Look, she drooled on the pillow. So sweet, all sweaty and tangled up in my bedsheet, and my heart feels complete. Let's never leave this room. How about we stay here till finals? I'll go to school forever. I'll take out a dementedly huge high-interest loan. 'Cause I'm changing my major to Joan.
Oh, that's so lovely. Sophie, that's a beautiful song. Tell us why you picked that one.
Wow. I picked that song. I actually forgot how how sincere that song was.
Yeah.
And then I was like weirdly moved again and brought back to my musical theater mind.
Yeah.
So I picked that song because I actually sang that song at the showcase at our summer theater program right before I moved to New York. And then, like, literally, like, a couple of days before I moved to New York, I saw it on Broadway.
Nice.
And I guess I just, that was, like, the first song that I was, like, really, like, listening to on repeat when I first moved, because I was, like, so moved.
Yeah.
By the show. Thinking about the show. I was, like, fine queer show. A musical that centers around like a queer woman, a lesbian.
Yeah.
And I was just like constantly listening to the soundtrack while I was like on the subway. And
did you ever wonder if you were the only one listening? Because I always feel like, because I did that with Dear Evan Hansen. Like I just was always listening and crying on the subway listening to that. And I'm like, no one else on this in this car is listening to musical theater right now, probably.
Yeah, no, but that's like, that can't be. Like, they just like literally can't be. That's inaccurate. I bet there were at least three. I mean, statistically, how full the train was, there was at least a couple more people listening to the same song.
Okay.
Or at least the soundtrack. Yeah. I mean, I was, well, sometimes when like, especially as the song builds, it gets loud, then I would like turn it down a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, I can't be that person who just moved to New York, who's listening to a musical, staying out at a Broadway actress's home. Like, I cannot be that person.
Okay. I got to ask. So you get this like lovely living experience, which is not the norm for people when they move to New York. I mean, in general, I think so. So did you feel like you were having this charmed life, or was there shit that felt really hard to you when you moved here?
It was a little bit more of the latter, because I remember like, so I get to the apartment. She shows me around really quickly. Like she's in a rush.
Yeah.
Because she has to get to her summer home again. And summer's over.
Summer.
Exactly. And so she's like showing me how to feed the cats. She's like showing me around, you know. It's also like sensory overload, because it's like, it's a new place.
Yeah.
It smells different than like what I'm, you know, where I just was, you know. It's like all of these things. And I'm like obviously so grateful. And she, I guess I kind of expected her to be there a little bit longer, but she was literally like the moment I showed up in the morning, she was like gone within 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, as soon as she just literally just like disappeared behind the door, I was like, oh my God, I'm alone.
In New York City, like with a cat.
In New York City with three cats.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, wow.
And
oof. Oof.
But really just two, because one of them was like never wanted to hang out with me. and so
oh, cats.
There is that feeling of loneliness that sort of just all of a sudden just like creeps in and like wraps around your heart and it feels a little suffocating.
Yeah.
And I like looked down and I was like, it was like part, oh my God, fuck yeah, I did it. I'm here. And part like, holy shit, what the fuck am I doing? Like, what am I about? Like, what is about to happen?
Yeah.
And I'm truly alone. Like, I know a couple of people, but not really.
And like, they're not your close friends. They're not people that you've and grown up with or anything. They're just people you've met throughout the years.
I guess they're just like people that like maybe moved from college that lived here, but I was never really close to. So okay. It's like I have like lifelines, but they're like, you know, like in video games where. Do you know video games?
I don't, but everyone listening probably does. I'm like, you know, a loser.
Like, yeah. You know, it's almost like, you know, you have like three lives, but like then the life. So like if you're playing Zelda.
Oh, I know that one. I do know that
okay,
one.
Okay, great. And so like, you know, you have like three hearts, but the heart starts to like, you have only half of a heart or it starts to blink.
Yeah,
right. And so it's like, it's really not like you're about to lose that life. Like that's kind of like how I can equate some of these people.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not, they weren't like full lifelines.
Yeah.
That I could really reach out to. So
that's what, I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's what I've realized. Like even now in New York, I have some close friends, but everybody's lives are so very different. And I'm like, I think people care about me in a way, like, I hope she doesn't die, but not in a way like, oh, I'm going to say hi to her today. You know, it's just like, they'd care if I died all of a sudden, but they wouldn't like check in on me to make sure I wasn't dead. That's how I feel about a lot of people in New York when I moved here. Like, that's
kind of, I thought you meant now.
Well, not so much now, but definitely when I moved here.
Yeah.
You're like, you should move if no one likes you. Get out. It's been 6 years. Get out, Susan. Yeah. So that's a weird, because you're living
That's a good way.
So you're living this.
We both interrupted each other.
I know. We're doing great. But you're living this high life, but you're still like by yourself. And so how did you figure out, like, what did you do to help ease yourself? Well, I guess you weren't really easing yourself, but how did you acclimate to the city? Like, did you have plans? Did you start researching comedy clubs? Were you like, what, how did you get comfortable?
Well, I didn't start doing comedy for like like 2 years.
Oh, really?
So the first thing I needed to do was get a job.
Sure.
My new roommate, who was at the time dating one of the people that I was friends with at that summer stock theater.
Okay.
Sitch. Had also just gotten a job at this restaurant, and I had worked in restaurants for a long time. Like, I'm so type A and always like prepared. And also I think that's like the military brat in me as well.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So like I started working in restaurants when I was like in college, but I would like try to make sure that I work at the best restaurants, because I was like, if I do move to a big city, like this is also like a big deal. Like I need to have a good resume.
Yeah.
And so I was like already starting to prepare, for that, which is so psycho, but also was,
I think it's necessary actually.
Yeah. You can't just like, I mean, you can walk in up to a restaurant in New York, I guess, without experience, but not really. Like they're super tough. And so, he got me this job at this super, super, super swanky restaurant, which I can't name because I don't name it in the book, but everyone would know.
Does it still exist?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, there's so many things I'm going to have to ask you off the air. And you can say no if you want to, but...
Okay.
So what was that like working at a swanky restaurant? Like,
I mean, so it was insane. I mean, just to get the job, I had to take an SAT test.
Nuh-uh.
Yes. Literally.
Like...
Literally?
Like literally a college exam thing?
Literally. Like, I had my interview.
Okay.
And then they were like, okay, we like you. We're going to go ahead and give you some paperwork now, and we're going to have you take this test.
Okay, sure.
And so, like, they made me do a personality test and then an SAT test.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, I don't remember, like, you know, A squared plus B squared plus C squared. Like, I don't remember any of this
for
stuff.
For a restaurant job?
For a restaurant job.
Like, mind you were a server.
Literally. Well, not yet.
You had to pass.
Yeah, I had to pass it.
Holy
I was like, I'm going to fail right here. Like, I was always so bad at taking tests.
Oh, yeah.
So this was not going to be. So I was like, this is it. This is the end of the road for me. Mind you, everyone is like walking around like very militantly. All of the women have their hair in like super, super tight buns.
Okay.
Full makeup, red lipstick, like every. Like aprons are starched and white. There's no stain on anyone. Like I'm like, you work at a restaurant, but how is there no food stains on anybody's body? I mean, everyone was like perfect. And everyone was also like perfect looking.
Well, congratulations for being hired then, you gorgeous beauty.
Well, I was like, I snuck in there somehow, when I went for the interview, I'm like literally in like business. I'm like in a business casual attire.
Yeah.
Like I'm literally about to get a job at a bank.
At like Wall Street or something.
Yes.
God, New York is so funny like that. Cause I've heard even like, well, bartending, it must be very hard to get bartending jobs. And they're like, if you don't have any New York experience, don't bother. And it's like, well,
yeah,
you got to work at like some sort of Chili's or Chuck E. Cheese or something, I don't know, in New York City before they'll give you a job.
Well, but you're doing this is your survival job to get the other job. So then you have to find a survival job to get the survival job to get the dream, which sounds like a nightmare.
That's the thing. The city doesn't make life simple or easy. It's not convenient here. So, but there's reasons to stick it out. And for you, what were your reasons? Like the main reasons. Performance.
Yeah, I always knew that I wanted to be like in the entertainment industry and like be an actor. And I didn't know that writer or a comedian.
Yeah.
But I knew I wanted to be performing.
Okay.
And so for me, I was like, well, this is the place.
Yeah.
And so I started working this job, which was great. The Broadway actress was happy because she knew I'd be leaving soon.
Keep her happy. Yes, please.
And initially, like when I was just getting adjusted.
Yeah.
And so I got the job and became really, really good friends with everyone I worked with. And I have to say, like, to this day, which I normally am not like, I don't stay friends with people that I work at restaurants with. And that's like not me being like, oh, I'm too cool for this. It's just like, you know, you move on.
Proximity. You're not in the same proximity. And like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but I'm still like really good friends with like four or five of those people because we all moved to New York at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And they also, oh, go ahead.
No, it's just a good common bond when you move at the same time. Like they have
and it
people.
Was also hell.
Yeah.
It was also like hell working there. And so we bonded over that. And also they hired kind of the same types of people. So we were all super type A. We were all incredibly driven.
Yeah.
All wanted to make it. And, you know, and all the people that are like I'm friends with are like really doing it, you know, like they don't, you know, they don't work there anymore and, you know, moved on and stuff. And so that to me is really cool because I never really thought I'd actually still be friends with the same people that I mean, I've been friends with a lot of people throughout the years in New York, but
yeah.
Like those people, I'm like, I still call up, they come to my birthday, you know, it's like, it's a pact.
Yeah.
We're in a blood pact.
Oh my God, that's illegal. Don't do that.
A ketchup blood pack.
Oh, you guys were like marrying ketchups and you were like, oh, let's pinky swear on this blood ketchup.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, I want to play another song because honestly, like, I really like this list.
Okay, hell yeah.
Shit. I mean,
let's do.
You tell me.
Okay, well, let's go to a dark place. Okay. So let's go to Maybe You're Right by Miley Cyrus.
Nice. I like it. I love this stuff.
Can I just say really quickly?
Yeah.
This Bangers album is one of the best breakup albums of all time. It is her best album, 2013, Miley Cyrus.
Wow.
I know that she's doing the whole Joan Jett thing right now, and I do really appreciate the Plastic Hearts movement that she's having.
Yes.
But I have to say that this album is just so good. Literally I feel like I'm talking about a Rolling Stones album the way I speak of it. But from, like, you know, you do have to listen to it from track one
to the end.
To the end. Like cover to cover. And that's what I recommend for everyone. So we're like on, I think, song like 7 or 8.
Okay.
So like and this is totally about her breakup with Liam.
Oh, the Hemsworth brother.
The first breakup, not the one that recently happened. This is like when they were like broke up for the first time after dating after last song or whatever the fuck movie she did. So anyway,
I know a lot about Miley Cyrus, my friend.
I do. That's my girl. Okay, all right. So enjoy the journey.
Okay, we're taking it right now.
Second that you said you love me, I started questioning eyes. Are we really in love? Trying to figure out chapter 3, but you're not giving me anything. This is what we are. Then I gotta move on. You think this is everything, but there's no book of love. You might think I'm crazy, that I'm lost and foolish. A part of you and me arguing about nothing. You tell me it's as good as it gets. Yeah, I'm real emotional. Blame it on your mental jokes. How much did you think that I could take? So much for taking this too far.
Yeah.
to the top one more time.
Cool. Hold on one second. I'm screwing this up. That was rad. Okay, I want to remind you, you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is New New York. You're dealing with a very dumb host today, Susan Russo. That's me. We're talking to a very cool guest, Sophie Santos. But before we get back to our conversation, I want to remind you that if you want to listen to Radio Free Brooklyn when you're away from your computer, you can download our mobile app. And if you have an iPhone, go to the App Store. And if you have an Android, go to the Google Play Store. And another fun thing you can do is sign up for a monthly newsletter. Keeps you up to date on new programming and upcoming events. And it's only once a month, so not super annoying. Sign up at radiofreebrooklyn.com/newsletter. Okay, Sophie, did you go through a breakup when you got to New York?
Yes, but it was of my own making. Oh. I was not great, and I talk about it in the book. Actually,
wait, we haven't even said the name of the book. It's called "The One You Want to Marry and Other Identities I've Had," and I relate to this deeply because I think we all have like multiple personalities. And okay, go ahead, keep talking.
Yeah, and go through many different shapes and forms until we finally figure it out. Yeah, so I just like, no, I mean, long story short, I was just like not great. And I was with my college girlfriend. And then when I was at the summer program, fell for a girl there and like was basically dating them at the same time.
Oh,
and
shit.
Was a shithead. And so that song is really probably more from the perspective of both of the women who were leaving me behind, but I had such an ego that I was like, I'm leaving you behind, when really they both were like, we're leaving you, bitch. I did like, you know, really, I was trying to hold on to something, and that like song like really helped me get through it. And so I was going through this breakup like right when I was like in New York. And And again, it was my own making. Yeah. Breakups.
Multiple at the same time.
And so that song, I just was always like, you know, I would just like belt out, you know.
Yeah.
In my apartment. We should talk about my apartment for just a second.
Sure, I'm down.
Because I finally moved.
Okay.
So I finally moved. So I get the job. I finally moved.
Yeah.
I'm living with a man named Chandler.
What neighborhood?
So I'm in the cast of Friends. well, you mentioned Wall Street.
Oh, that so, where you went?
That is where we went. Ooh. And makes no sense.
Yeah.
I hope everyone is like, as they're making their breakfast, is choking on their breakfast, is slamming their dishes, and they're like, why? And we'll never know why. But it was, he found this place. It was me and then his like college roommate. They were Cornell boys.
Oh, yeah. You were like Jennifer Aniston, or what's her face? Rachel, living with like Joey and Chandler.
There we go. Wow. That was it. Okay. Except it was Kurt and Chandler. I thought when Chandler pitched it to me, and I'm going to roast Chandler, by the way,
okay.
But Chandler is actually still a really good friend of mine, but I can roast him, because he's very roastable. I thought that we were moving into, the way it was pitched to me by the salesman, Chandler, was that it would be a big enough space for three people to live in, that it was a one bedroom. We were going to convert it into three rooms. And it was in this really, but we weren't really talking about the space. We were talking more about the building, and it was a beautiful building. We had a doorman.
Cool.
We had a mail center. We had laundry in the building. And it was going to be, we can get temporary walls, and we can really make this work. Well, what actually happened is it was not a one bedroom. It was a studio with an office.
Oh, God. So,
and then I was there because he was like, I don't know why he wasn't there, but I was the one that was dealing with the temporary walls. And I thought when you got to get temporary walls, that they're temporary walls and they go all the way up.
Yeah.
And because of a fire hazard, they can't go all the way to the ceiling. So there was space between the top of the wall. And in addition to that, it could only be in an L shape. It couldn't be like, it could, they a couldn't square. Do, they could, yeah, exactly. And the L could only go so far.
So
I'm,
what?
So, and the walls are basically made of paper. They're paper. Wait, it's literally
all three of you sign the lease?
We had already signed the lease.
But like all three of you in the building was like, that's cool. You three people can live in a studio apartment. Like,
yes.
Oh my God.
I guess. And I was paying $1,100.
Oh my God.
For a sliver.
Oh, so Jesus.
So I had to get a shower curtain and a rod to finish the L. I also was on the side that didn't have the AC. So like Kurt had to like, I had to text Kurt how, if I was hot or cold, because Kurt, his side had the AC. He also had the kitchen.
I was going to say, was it like a kitchen and three bedrooms and nothing else? Like,
oh. Don't call them bedrooms.
Okay.
Please.
Yeah. The
bedrooms would like, be offended by this.
The barracks that you lived in, probably. Like, wow. Okay. So that's a change of lifestyle when you go from a Upper West Side like space with three cats to three humans in like the size of a cat. Basically crate.
Yeah, oh, literally.
Wow.
And then Chandler's in the office, so he has no windows and he's constantly complaining about he has no windows. And I was like, Chandler,
you have walls, shut the fuck up.
I was like, if you complain one more time, I'm gonna move my stuff in your room and now you will have no door and I will have no windows and then I won't have to hear the end of it. And then he just like kind of was like, oh, well, I'm not, you know,
yeah,
he wouldn't
change
his mind. No, he also paid the same amount of rent, which made no sense.
Oh, that's bullshit. Wait.
Because he found it.
Fine.
He found the place.
He found a garbage place. But how long did you live there?
I lived there for a year. And the whole joke the whole time was that I had a doorman, but no door.
That's so funny. You should definitely, the amenities are kind of nice, but not when you have like literally like enough space for maybe a single bed. That's not. And your clothes, where the hell did your clothes go? Like, ay, ay, ay.
Like, I think I put my clothes just like on the floor, and then I think I put them like in the hallway.
Nice. Like, holy crap. Okay, so
I just kept them in suitcases.
Okay, so I want to ask, I don't know if that apartment is your place, but did you find a Cheers? Not that it has to be a bar or anything like that, but what was the first space? Like, it could be a park, it could be a theater, it could be anywhere. Like, what was the first space that felt like, oh yeah, this is my, I like it here. This is, I want to come back again and again. And like, do you have one of those?
When I first moved? Yeah. Like when I was, so, cause I was like just trying to get out of the apartment all the time.
Yeah.
It was, because my other roommate, all he did was play video games, so I could always hear him in the joysticks,
yeah,
playing video games, and or talking to his girlfriend. And he had like, when he'd have his headphones on, he didn't realize how loud he was.
Uh huh. Yeah.
So I'm constantly just trying to get the F out. And I kind of had two Cheers, to be honest.
Okay.
I had one when I would like. One was in my neighborhood, which is the Dead Rabbit, which is like a very famous.
Oh, yeah. Cocktail bar. Mm-hmm.
And but I would go because it'd be really close to my apartment, and then the bartender was from Alabama.
Oh yeah.
And so
that's cool.
We would bond over Alabama football, and all we would talk about is like Alabama shit. And that was like, it's so great when you're like, people don't get like Alabama culture like if you're not from Alabama. And so to be like in New York and also like at one of the top bars, I think, in the city.
Well, I think in the world, to be quite honest with you.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Shooting the shit, you know, about, you know, Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide was awesome. And then I would just sit there and I would just kind of like, I mean, you know, of course, when you get to New York, you always overdrink. So I'm sitting there and I'm just like, you know, doing shots with everybody. And, you know, they're just feeding me Jameson shots and stuff. But it was... I mean, I don't regret it.
That's what you do. I feel like that's just what you do when you get hair. Even if you're 40 like I was, you still do that. Like,
yeah,
it's the fun part. It's fun.
It was awesome. I had the best time. And shout out to all the bartenders over there. And then the other one would be, so when I'd get off work with my crew over at my restaurant, we would go to this place called Church Hills, which is in Flatiron and is a British pub.
Oh, I like that.
But a little bit like, but not like Scallywags, you know, like, or not like any of those places in like Midtown, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's a little bit, you know, has a little classier. But we'd always go there after work and drink and shit talk about
customers,
you know, mainly management.
Oh, that makes sense.
Management and just like, wow, they really like called you out for having a stain on your shirt. They literally made you go home and change, you know, because they were just so neurotic. I got called in one time because I had like we had to do open hand serving, which is basically what it sounds like, where you make sure that you, when you're holding the plate, that you put the plate in front of the person, but it's your hand isn't like on.
Oh, like near them.
Near them. Okay. Right. And I had done it incorrectly and they called me into the office and they had cameras all around.
Oh my God.
And they zoomed into the moment when I did it.
Oh God. Oh my gosh. Wow.
Like we're in a Bond film. Like I had poisoned a customer.
Wow.
And they were like, we really like you, Sophie, but like you know, you really can't, that's not up to spec, which is what they would call, like, when it's, you know,
Was it like three rules. Strikes and you're out, or what were their?
It could be anything, you know?
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. Anything. The only thing I remember, I've never waited tables at fine dining. I've done, like, less classy establishments. The only thing I remember my roommate used to talk about, my old roommate, was that you couldn't put your thumb on the plate, right? Like, I don't know if that was a rule at your place or not, but where I lived in Vail, and they were like, do not put your thumb on that plate because then it's like presented with your, I don't know. Anyway, that's the only thing I know about.
Yeah, I never heard the thumb thing, but it was definitely like, yeah, like if you could keep it to the side, that would be great. But I mean, but there were so many other things like one, like where we were, like if you went to the kitchen, if a customer was passing you, you had to literally just like almost like attention, like put yourself against the wall.
Oh my God.
And let them pass. And even like children.
Oh wow.
So I would like, so like a 5-year-old is running to the bathroom and I had to like let the child, I had to like throw my body against, you know, a wall, even if I'm carrying food for a 5-year-old.
Oh yeah.
Very humbling.
Yeah.
Very humbling.
Yeah. Serving, I feel like everybody should do it. In any capacity, to be honest with you, because it's a different set of issues when you have, like, you know, anyway, whatever. Okay, cool. So let's see. Oh, shit. Okay. We got 10 minutes left. Let's play. This is probably going to be your last song. So what do you think? We'll talk a little bit after this song, but I want to get one more in.
Let's do The Man.
The Man. Oh, yeah. Aloe Black.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, we'll talk about why when we get back. Okay.
Okay.
Enjoy.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's
time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I got all the answers to your questions. I'll be the teacher, you could be the lesson. I'll be the preacher, you be the confession. I'll be the quick relief to all you stressing. It's a thin line between love and hate. Is you really real or is you really fake? I'm a soldier standing on my feet, no surrender. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail, I'll turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Well, you can tell everybody.
Very cool. I'm the man. Aloe Black. Reminding you again, as we reach the end of the hour, that you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is New in New York. Every Sunday at 9, I talk to New Yorkers who fill me in on what it was like for them moving to this crazy city. Anyway, also, Radio Free Brooklyn's mission is to provide a free and open platform in our community and promote media literacy, education, free expression, and public art. We rely primarily on donations from listeners like you. Every dollar helps us stay on the air and allows us to continue our work in the community. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so all contributions are tax deductible. Please support with a monthly pledge or one-time donation at radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. Also, I say this repeatedly, shop small, shop local, but if you buy things on Amazon every once in a while in emergencies, you can donate in a way that costs nothing to you. If you go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/Amazon and register Radio Free Brooklyn as your Amazon Smile charity, every time you shop, a small portion of your purchase benefits Radio Free Brooklyn. So that's that. Okay, Sophie, I've enjoyed this thoroughly. I'm so happy you woke up early on a Sunday morning to chat with me. And I want to encourage A, myself, and B, everyone listening, to go out and get her memoir, The One You Want to Marry and Other Identities I've Had. Sophie Santos. And she's got I've just learned about this woman, so I'm excited to go see this in November. She's got a show called The Lesbian Agenda. And the next one is going to be November 12th at Union Hall in Brooklyn. Support Brooklyn. You can get tickets $12 in advance or $15 the day of the show. Doors at 7, show at 7:30. Just give me a little, give the listeners a little synopsis of the Lesbian Agenda.
Well, the Lesbian Agenda is a very serious show.
Very serious.
Where we try to enforce our new world order with our agenda. For example, casting Rachel Weisz in every lesbian movie until she becomes a lesbian.
Nice. I like it. Okay, fun.
Yeah.
We're into it. Okay.
But it's a comedy show, so
it's
come out.
It's a very serious comedy show.
It's a very serious comedy show, yes.
Okay, so to end the hour, I want to finish with a final question, and I left it up to Sophie to decide. Do you have an Only in New York story, or do you want to give a little advice to the folks thinking about A, moving to New York, or B, leaving New York?
I will do an Only in New York story.
Okay, I love those.
I mean, I do feel like the doorman with no door is such a New York
that
thing.
That is very true.
But in addition to that, I mean, it's kind of lame, but when I was working at that restaurant, I served Julie Andrews.
The Sound of Music, Julie Andrews.
The Sound of Music, Julie Andrews. And I was like, I'm actually really happy to say that I don't get that starstruck, which is good because I'm in the entertainment industry.
Yes, yes. Helpful.
But like I had nothing going on at the time. But I remember when she like walked in and I was like, everyone was freaking out.
Sure.
And because there was a bunch of like Disney heads there and just like, you know, I mean, it's Julie Andrews. It's what do we say? It's not sir. She's like knighted. She's something.
Oh yeah. Oh shit.
A dame.
That's
oh my God.
Right.
Dame like, Julie Andrews. Something. I watched The Crown. I should know. And I remember like, yeah, I took care of her and this woman, and she ordered a French dip.
Oh my gosh. Go Julie Andrews. Like not a salad with no salad dressing.
No, she ordered a French dip, and that French dip is like 3,000 calories, by the way, at this place.
Oh man.
And then when she was ready for her tea, she brought her own tea.
You're spilling the tea on
she
Julie
just needed
Andrews.
Hot water.
I love that.
And because I was prepared. I was prepared to like, you know, offer her tea. She was just like, no, I actually have my own. Just some hot water would be great.
Oh my
God. And I was like, okay. And I just feel like, you know, those kind of celebrities, like that's not gonna happen. Like,
yeah.
In Alabama.
Yeah.
And so that was actually pretty cool. And I often do think back. I'm like, wow, me and Julie Andrews hung for a moment.
You were her friend for a good, I'm guessing, an hour or so. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Full hour. A full 60 minutes.
Nice. Well, and we're wrapping up a full 60 minutes right now, minus the 3 minutes at the top of the show. That was me bumbling and figuring shit out and swearing at you all. So anyway, thanks for doing the show, Sophie Santos. It was a joy to talk to you. And thank you out there in Brooklyn land and all over the place. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next Sunday with a new guest. So enjoy the day. Stay out of the rain.